Welcome to New Life. If this is your first time with us, we are excited to have you. For everyone, it's great to have you here. You may have received a Tootsie Roll Pop on your way in. Feel free to enjoy them. It will make sense soon enough. All right? This morning, we're kicking off a five-part series focused on navigating life and finding the way to more purpose and meaning in life. And to help, we've developed a tool called the Discipleship Compass. Now, for all of you who have become a little more tech-dependent, like Michael and Dwight there in that clip, you may be unfamiliar with what a compass looks like. So I have a picture. This is a compass. Some of you may recognize it. If you're familiar with the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, this is a picture of Pirate Jack Sparrow's compass. And his was a little different than most compasses. Jack's compass was the key to everything for those who knew how to use it, because unlike an ordinary compass, Jack's compass did not point to magnetic north, which made it appear useless to others. Rather, Jack's compass pointed to what its owner wanted most, his heart's desire. And that was the problem for Jack in the beginning of the movie, because he didn't know what he wanted, and the needle would just spin. And I run into a lot of people who unknowingly have adopted Jack Sparrow's compass in their own life as a navigation tool. And the results are about as good as the GPS with Michael and Dwight. They're confused, frustrated, sometimes even completely lost. And they don't know what they are doing or where they are going. They sit there like Jack Sparrow with a compass that only works if you know what you want. And when you don't know what you want, it just seems like life's spinning. And honestly, those who try to navigate in this way from their own heart never really set their own course. We think we do, but we don't, because as humans, we're relational. We learn from one another. We take our cues from each other. We learn from watching others, interacting with others, caring for others, and even through being hurt by others. We are constantly finding our way, not based on our own heart, but through the voices of those around us. We're all learners, and we navigate the world as we learn. And that's one of the key concepts to the Discipleship Compass, because a disciple is a learner. That's literally what it means. We are all learning from someone. We're all disciples of someone. The question is, who is teaching you? Whose disciple are you? Because one thing is for sure, you are somebody's disciple. You learn how to live from somebody else, and you keep learning how to live each and every day. We have found our way by listening to our teachers, and not just in education, teachers in every sphere of life. In fact, if we went person by person and asked who has taught you in your life the way that you follow right now, the list would be enormous. And yet many people in the world, even in this room, struggle with where they are at in life and what they are doing, having purpose and meaning, knowing that your life means something and matters, that you are loved and significant. But what if it was different? What if there was a way to find all this? Today, we're going to introduce you to the tool that I believe can make a difference in your life, a tool that will not only orient you to the greatest teacher the world has ever known, but one that can continue to keep you on course, heading in a direction where you can find true identity, real growth, and meaningful purpose that transcends this life. It's the Discipleship Compass. And I'd love for all of us over the next 5 weeks, starting today, to learn the five parts of this compass and begin using it in our own life, using it as a check in the direction that we're heading and asking ourselves, what's the next step I need to take? That's the question. What is the next step I need to take? And before I say any more, I'm going to pray for our day. Lord, I thank you that you don't leave us to ourselves, our own hearts and desires, Lord, that we don't have a compass that seems broken when we don't know the way, like Jack Sparrow. Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to orient our life, Lord, around you, and that this tool would help us stay the course, learning to be like you and live like you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, before I share the whole compass with you, I want to share just one part, the first part, which is the foundation, the first part that comprises the compass that serves as the magnetic north that allows the compass to even take direction. Jesus is the center of everything. And as we'll see, it's the center of the discipleship compass too. And if you take away nothing else today, take that and wrestle with it. Stand on it. Mull over it. He's the center of everything. And this can change our life. The question is, why is he the center? And if you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 14. If you don't own a Bible, you can follow along on the screens, or we actually have free ones at the Info Center. We'd love for you to grab one on your way out if you don't own a Bible. The passage comes from the end of Jesus' life. He's been walking and talking and teaching his disciples for 3 years. And on the night that he was to be betrayed and arrested, they had their final meal together. And afterwards, Jesus shared this. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." And I love this response from Thomas. "No, we do not know, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" I love that communication, his conversation here. Jesus has led them for 3 years, teaching them everything about the kingdom, about how to live, where to go. And he's been leading them day after day after day. And all of a sudden he says, "I'm going to go somewhere, prepare a place, but you know the way." And Thomas is like, "Hold the phone. Not so much. We know because we follow you. What do you mean you're going somewhere? I don't know the way." And honestly, if I was there, I think I would have been right there with Thomas, raising my hand, "Objection, I don't know the way." And to this, Jesus responds. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So simple, yet so profound. And that conversation continued, and Jesus added, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to the Father." And what Jesus was saying here is that he is the way to the Father. He alone is the pathway to God, is what he claimed. And the way is his life, that those who believe in Jesus will learn to walk like Jesus. Jesus is revered by people all over the world as a great teacher. And people can learn a lot from him. But he is so much more. He was the greatest teacher to ever walk the planet. And the one teacher that every human on the planet would benefit learning from. It's a big statement. Do you believe it? Do you believe, as Nancy said, that Jesus is the answer? And that the whole world would be better if people learned from him? If you're a Christ follower, don't be ashamed of following Jesus or learning from him. When someone finds out that you're a Christ follower and they get that look of shocked, or they say, "Really? You?" All right, which can happen in this area, right? Anyone experience that? Or is it just me? All right. I would love us to respond with boldness and affirmation. Someone says, "Really, you?" Absolutely. He's the greatest teacher the world has ever known. And if more people would learn from him and live like him, the world would be a better place. Do that just once and watch the response. I said earlier, we are all learning from someone. Will you let Jesus Christ be your teacher this year, this month, this week, today? Will you let him be your teacher? That's the heart of the compass, to be a disciple of Jesus, a learner. And let me clarify, you can learn from Jesus without following him. In fact, you can learn from him and not even believe he is who he says he was. And I challenge everyone here today to at least take that step of becoming a learner of Jesus. How do you do that? Best way, grab a Bible. Take the four Gospels, pick one of them, and read it. It's all about Jesus' life, what he's done, how he lived, what he said. It reveals the way that he's talking about. And anyone, Christian, non-Christian, atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, it doesn't matter what you believe, you can pick up the Bible and learn from Jesus. Even if you're not at a place where I am, where I think he's the greatest teacher that ever graced this earth, if you can at least concede that he's a good teacher, then will you actually look at what he says? I challenge you to do that. So this is the foundation of the entire compass and why Jesus is at the center of it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is who we are to believe in and learn from, the way of life that we are to follow. And the discipleship compass is designed to help us stay on course with that. So here we go. This is the compass. Unlike most compasses that have four directions, this one has two. All right? Because Jesus was the way, the truth, and life, he also said, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it." He is the narrow path. In Jeremiah, Joshua, he said, "Don't turn to the right or the left. Stay the course." There's only two directions. Down at the bottom, we have one way, not the band, or south. That's self. We can focus on ourself. We can go our own way. And a lot of people do. They sit down there trying to discern it, like Jack Sparrow. What's my heart? What's my way? That's one way to live. The other is the way of Christ, and it's everything above that, the opposite direction of ourself. And it starts the five parts. Part one, Jesus is the center of everything. Colossians chapter 1 basically says that Jesus was before all things, that all things were created in him, that he holds everything together, and that God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That's the center of the compass. The magnetic north of the discipleship compass is Jesus Christ. The whole point of the compass is that we are about Jesus. We want to be men and women who are first and foremost disciples, learners of Jesus, who want to learn to be like him and live like him. And you take away the magnetic north of a compass and it's useless. If you take away Jesus from the discipleship compass, it is useless. Our orientation to live the way begins at Jesus. And once you have that at the center, you have to have a right response. Obeying is the right response to the right center. Whereas the needle of the traditional compass responds to the magnetic field and points, our own life needs to respond to Jesus and obey. The way, the truth, and the life. The long-awaited Messiah. If he is who he says he is, the Son of God, the creator of everything, then the response of obedience only makes sense. Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commands." As the disciples of Jesus, we obey all he has taught and commanded as an expression of our love for him. Obedience becomes our way of life, which leads us into focusing less on ourselves and more on Jesus, allowing his strength to become ours. We lay down our desires and our ways and our life so that we can take up his desires, his ways, and his life. Our life literally becomes more about Jesus and less about us. And it doesn't mean we all quit our jobs and go into ministry, though some of you may actually be called to that, like I was. For most of us, it means bringing glory and honor to him in the totality of your lives, in your marriage, your family, your work, your fun, your rest, where our life takes on that shape right there, where we are here, but we are magnifying and glorifying God with our life, making much of him. And when you hit those three parts, Jesus, obeying, and focusing less on us and more on Christ, it is a tall order to walk alone, which leads us to the need of others. We need to do life with others. At the very beginning, God created man, and there was a point where he looked and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And in a dramatic fashion, he creates woman out of man, puts them together, and he was saying, people need people. Going solo in life according to God is not a good idea. And it's especially true in the life of a disciple. We need others in our lives who we can be real with, grow with, walk with, and follow Jesus through the triumphs, tensions, transitions, and tragedies of life. Living life with others is essential to being a disciple. And it leads us to four practices. Prayer, that's the P. Communication with God. We talk with God, God talks with us. And Jesus did a lot of that in his life, talking to the Father. W is for the Word. 66 books of the inspired Word of God, the foundation source of understanding who God is and what he wants, finding his way. And while the New Testament wasn't around in Jesus' day, he knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand, and he quoted it often. L is for life, because if we're honest, life can be really messy. We need to intentionally choose to be transparent with others and share our lives, the good, the bad, the downright ugly.
Because through this experience with each other, we can extend grace, healing, hope, and find growth in our lives like never before. It's about learning to walk in the Spirit, renewing our mind with truth, and having the character of Christ be worked out in our lives. It's true life transformation. And finally, E, evangelism, which is the proclamation of the good news, proclamation of the gospel. And honestly, our culture is more comfortable with that word right now than many Christians are. Apple Computer have paid positions where they are titled Apple Evangelist. No joke. They pioneered the term other industries are taking on, where they go and they're just sharing the good news about their products. And if we really believe everything we say we believe about Jesus, then we have some of the best news the world has ever heard. And sharing it should be a part of our priorities. Because talking about the kingdom of God was a huge priority in Jesus' life. And all that focus leads us to sharing with others, which leads to the final part of the compass, neighbors and nations. We are moved to love and serve neighbors and nations. Because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he also said, go and make disciples of all nations. Being a disciple is first a movement beyond ourselves towards Jesus. And then that leads us to move beyond ourselves to others. These two movements of the heart and mind orient our way of being a disciple and making disciples of Jesus Christ. And we love and serve as Christ loved and served us. And that's the compass, five parts that can help us stay center on Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and learning to live like him. And biblically speaking, there are two directions in life, your own way or the way of Jesus. And we all have to make the ultimate decision in our life. The question is, so how do we use this compass? It's easy. You look at it and you just ask yourself, are you centered on Jesus? Are you obeying the last thing you believe God asked or revealed to you in Scripture? Are you making your life about him or not? Are you learning to depend on him in your life as Nancy Slice was? Was that not awesome? It was awesome. Are you connecting with others? A great step there is fill it out on your comment card to join a small group or serve in some way. Both are awesome ways to get knit into community at New Life. Are you praying, reading, or listening to the word? Being open with your life or sharing about Jesus with others? Do you know how to share about Jesus? Do you need training? Are you looking towards loving and serving those around you? There are so many steps that can be taken with this compass, and that's really what the compass is for. And it's how a real compass is used in the woods. If you take a bearing in the woods and you just go, all right, got it, going this way, and you just take off, put it in your back pocket, you know what's going to happen in a little while? You are not going to end up at your destination. Because we walk, we drift. And the same thing is true in our life following Christ. We drift. And the compass is designed to be looked at regularly. Pull it out day after day. Check it out. Talk about it with others. See where you're at. See where you're staying the course. Because this life is hard, and we will drift. And if you'd like a copy of all this, we're actually going to email it out this week. In the future, in the coming weeks, we're going to have some printouts at the Info Center. But over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking through those four that are not highlighted. But today, we've been started by just talking about the foundation, the center, that Jesus is the center of everything. And I want to unpack it from one more perspective today and challenge you all with one final thought. At one point in Jesus' ministry, he led the people up on a mountain, and he gave a huge discourse called the Sermon on the Mount. And he downloaded thick, rich nuggets of information and quotes and all kinds of stuff that people have been talking about and discussing and writing books about for the last 2,000 years. And at the end of that discussion of his Sermon on the Mount, he shared about this. He shares about our core. He says, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. What is your house built on? What is the foundation of your life? Is it the bedrock of Jesus Christ, or is it shifting sands that are not designed to withhold the trials of life? What's at the core of your life? And this is where the Tootsie Roll pop comes in. Some of you are like, oh yeah, that. Others are like, yeah, mine's gone. If you're old enough to remember these iconic commercials in the 70s and 80s, where a little boy is trying to answer the question, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? And he finds an owl, and the owl takes three licks and then bites it and says three. And at the end, the announcer of the commercial ended by saying, the world may never know. Everyone wants the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop. Why? Because it's a Tootsie Roll. And Tootsie Rolls are good. That's what they made. They eventually said, hey, what if we put this on the middle of a sucker, right? And all of a sudden, these become great. But people want to get to the center. And imagine if you open this up and you got to the center and it wasn't a Tootsie Roll. Disappointment. Imagine if it was something like an olive. So disappointing. All right? Now imagine if you bought a bag of Tootsie Roll Pops and only one out of the 38 has a Tootsie Roll in it. Only one. Would you buy a bag? Would you even want to try them? Because if it has this wrapper on the outside that says it's a Tootsie Roll Pop, it better have a Tootsie Roll at the center. Right? And as Christians, we are claiming to be different than everyone else in the world. We have a wrapper of Christianity. And we say we're different because we have Jesus in our lives. The Bible says that if we believe in him and we follow, that he literally enters our life. The Holy Spirit comes into us. He seals us. He empowers us, guides us, teaches us to follow his way. God literally lives in us. And people like Jesus, just like they like Tootsie Rolls. They like Jesus. They've read his words. They like him. They don't like the Tootsie Roll Pops. Why? Because often people encounter Christians and what they find coming out of them is not Jesus. They have a wrapper of Christianity with no Jesus at the center of their life. The only difference many people see is a wrapper. And I'm telling you, the world longs for Jesus. They just don't realize it. They may act like they don't want Jesus, but I'm not convinced. The world wants to meet Christians who, when the licks of life reveal the inner core, they find Jesus. When Jesus is what is revealed in our lives, not just in our words, but in our actions, people notice. They are looking for it. They just don't know it. And it's especially true when tragedies hit. When things tear us down and break us down, where we think we're, oh yeah, just a couple licks, keep on ticking, right? Like the Timex. But then a tragedy comes, like the owl. And what's revealed? When Jesus is revealed in those moments, it is powerful. If you claim to be a Christ follower, does your life reveal Jesus at the center? Or is it a different center being exposed? We were created to reflect God at our core, to be like him. Genesis says that humanity was created in the image of God, and in the image of God, humanity was created. And then humanity got off track, which is why Jesus came to make a way, to live for us, die for us, defeat the grave, and reveal the way to true life. It's what Colossians was saying, that he's the center of everything, and that section ended by saying, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And as the discipleship compass shows, there are two directions in life. We can choose our own way, or the way, the truth, and the life that's found in Jesus Christ. It's a journey of meaning and purpose, of great hope. And it all starts with Jesus at the center. Because biblically speaking, this is the foundation, the starting point of finding God. And the beauty is, he came looking for you. He died for you. He defeated death for you, and he wants to come into your heart and your life to be your center, the rock that is unshakable. And the question for all of us is this: what does your life reveal at the center? If not Jesus, who or what? And if it's not what you find at the center of your life, are you comfortable with it? Are you content with it? Because Jesus says, come. Come to me, and I will show you the way. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that you did not leave us to our own hearts trying to figure out and navigate life, that you came and said you are the way, that you showed us how to live in your life, and that you are in heaven preparing a place for us that we can go to you, Lord. Teach us to follow you each and every day, and this week, Lord, to wrestle with wanting you at the center of our life. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.